Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
You're very welcome back to Lunchtime Live. Anna Daly in for Andrea today, and Dr. Nina Burns, GP at Generation Health Medical Clinic, is with me now in studio to answer all of your questions, or certainly some of them. Good afternoon to you.
Good to be here, Anna.
Thanks for joining us. Will I go straight into them?
Fire ahead. Yep.
For the GP, any tips on what I can do for low blood pressure? I'm 39, female, healthy, and bloods are normal. The doctor says it's not low enough to be of concern, but it does make me feel tired and occasionally lightheaded and nauseous. It's not posture related, just comes on at any time of the day. I try and drink lots of water and eat salty foods, but is there anything else I can try?
Yes, so, you know, you're doing all the stuff that I would normally recommend. Is keeping hydrated is really important. But actually, you know, contrary to what we normally say to people, if you have low blood pressure, adding some salt back into your diet can help. It can bring the blood pressure up a little bit.
That kind of goes against medical advice in general, doesn't it?
It does, you see, because we say salt increases blood pressure. Yeah. But if you actually have low blood pressure, having salt in your diet can help, yeah. I suppose it is worth just making sure it's been checked out fully, is what I would say. Because if your blood pressure is suddenly dropping, is that because your heart is pausing or you're having something in the rhythm of the heart that's making your blood pressure drop? So you've been to your GP, so I'm assuming some basic cardiac checks have been done, but they can do like a 24-hour monitor. Again, we normally do them for people who have high blood pressure, but they can actually be really helpful for people who have low blood pressure. And these are tests that we can do in the practice, because you can see, is the blood pressure dropping low? But at the same time, you can also monitor pulse. So sometimes you can see a pulse drop or a pulse go up. So those kind of things can be helpful. I would maybe ask the GP to refer you to an echocardiogram, make sure the heart is pumping normally, all of those things, because blood pressure is down primarily to heart function, but then to nerve function. So we have this nerve called our vagal nerve, which is the nerve that runs, longest nerve in our body, goes from our head all the way to our stomach. But it does have an influence on blood pressure and heart rate.
Okay.
And so, I mean, classically, the person who faints when they're nervous, you know, that's a vagal nerve response. It drops your blood pressure, drops your pulse, you hit the floor and everything sorts itself out. So the autonomic nervous system, which is the part of our body, the nerves that we're not really in conscious control of, they can be impacted and lead to things like blood pressure dropping and stuff. So if you're doing all the stuff that we would advise, which it sounds like this person is.
Sounds very conscientious, I would say.
Yeah, it's definitely worth checking, because your blood pressure shouldn't suddenly drop for no particular reason. The only caveat I would put to that is I do find some people come in and they'll say, oh, I was at a clinic and I was told my blood pressure was low. But when I check their blood pressure, it's like 100 over 60, 105 over 60. A lot of cardiologists would love everyone's blood pressure to be at that number. So it's more, is it impacting you? Because Okay. Some people can tolerate what reads as low blood pressure, but it's not impacting. However, in this case, it sounds like it is. So I think it is worth maybe having a conversation.
So when
with
there's
your doctor.
Other symptoms there,
exactly.
It's worth investigating.
Yeah. So you can have some people with a blood pressure of 100 over 60, they feel fine.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But there are other symptoms here. Yep. So you're right. Yep. Hello. Can muscular hip pain be associated with slow bowel issues? I'm on Ozempic for type 2 diabetes.
So not directly, but obviously if you have an issue with your bowel, we often talk about radiated pain. So, you know, you can get, because your bowel goes right down into your pelvis, you can get pain into your back, you can get pain down into your legs if you've pressure in the pelvis. And obviously if you're very constipated, you can pressure in the pelvis. Ozempic or the GLP-1 agonist, those injections that people use, are associated with constipation. It's one of the main side effects we discuss with people. But then constipation is also associated with nerve issues in your back. So if someone comes in with back pain, we will ask them directly about their bowel and bladder function, because if there's serious pressure on a nerve, it can impact your bowel and bladder function as well. So they can be linked without one necessarily causing the other. But obviously, if you're having pain in your hip and you're constipated, I would say your pelvis and everything that supplies that needs to be looked at. So your bowels, you know, your womb and ovaries, do you have a cyst that's pressing somewhere, the nerves in your back? They're all the things as a doctor you're going to be going through a checklist in your head to make sure all these
things are okay. So those tests need to be done.
Go have a chat with your doctor and the symptoms need to be looked at. Yeah.
Okay. Can you ask the doctor what my GP can do to help with a Nurofen Plus addiction? Is there a drug that can make withdrawals easier? I can't seem to get past day 3 because of the sickness.
So Nurofen Plus has codeine in it. And okay. So codeine is an opiate along the family of morphine and heroin. They're all part of the same family. And, you know, it is a drug of addiction. Unfortunately, it's available over the counter in Ireland. I have to be honest, I don't agree with codeine being available over the counter
really?
For that reason. Because
now, there is kind of a series of questions, isn't there?
Yeah.
Have you tried XYZ first?
I have to be honest, I've been standing in pharmacies and I've had to shut my GP mouth because I've seen people coming in, you know, and I know pharmacists are busy and most of them are really, really good about doing it. I certainly don't want to knock anything, but I think people who want to get these drugs have ways and means of doing it. They'll go to different pharmacies. And obviously one pharmacy doesn't know that you were in 2 days ago to the one up the road. So it's an addiction.
Is it something you'd see often?
Opiate addiction.
Yeah, codeine or Nurofen. Yeah.
I think codeine addiction is a much bigger problem than we realise in Ireland. I think there are a lot of people using them first line for pain. And I would always say to someone, you know, you should never be going to something with codeine for your first line painkiller. It should be plain paracetamol, plain ibuprofen, which would be Nurofen or their other brands. And codeine should really only be the third line. It's actually not good for an awful lot of pains, like headaches and things like that. I would not be going for codeine painkillers. The migraine clinics will specifically tell people not to take codeine for their migraine. So what I would say to this person is, I'm really sorry you're suffering from an addiction, but you don't need to suffer from an addiction alone. And while we don't have specific drugs that we prescribe, addiction therapy is helpful. And go to your doctor, talk about it in that context and reach out and see what can be done to help you.
Mm-hmm. The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Okay, so they're taking it for pain initially and then...
We see it all the time. We saw the opiate epidemic in America. I mean, most of the people who became addicted to opiates, they were initially prescribed for pain. But the problem is after a while, you're taking it to avoid the withdrawal side effects, or it doesn't work as well as it used to. You have to take it more often. And we talk all the time about rebound headaches for people addicted to opiates, is that they start them for headaches, say, and then they... are getting headaches when they don't take it. So it's almost like they don't even realize it, but actually that is what we call a withdrawal headache. So it's really, really important to talk to somebody about this.
Yeah, you know? And the fact that they're asking the question today is a great sign, you know, that they're looking for help. Feel like I've phlegm at the back of my throat that I can't clear. It makes me feel sick. Anything I can do for this?
I think we talk about this almost every week, the post-nasal drip. People describe it in different ways. So it can be that feeling of something in the back of your throat. So sometimes it can be coming from your sinuses if you're congested. Reflux coming from your stomach can also cause a similar symptom. And then there is this thing called globus, which is this feeling that there's something in your throat, even if there isn't anything there. So go to your doctor. They can check out your sinuses. They can see, is there congestion coming from above? Is there possibly some reflux? And there are medications can be prescribed for both of those. Obviously, if you're having any difficulty swallowing or food is actually sticking, that's a whole other thing that needs to be definitely checked out. But a simple thing is using some of those saline rinses. You can buy them over the counter in pharmacies. There's one called Sterimar, which is, you know, if you swim in the ocean and you come out, your nose runs. Everybody knows that. And some genius quite a number of years ago bottled that idea. And it's basically salty water that you mist into your nose, but it's really good at clearing thick mucus. The other thing that people underestimate is just being hydrated. If you're dehydrated, the mucus in your body is going to be thicker. So being well hydrated can sometimes help just clear secretions much more easily. So there are a number of things can be done.
Great advice. Hi, left ear keeps becoming blocked, causing loss of hearing and numbness on left side of face. I get it syringed 2 to 3 times a year. Any idea what's causing it?
So the syringing is just removing wax. And while wax can make your hearing go down, it certainly shouldn't be causing numbness. So, you know, there might be 2 things going on here. A blocked ear and feeling like you can't hear can be congestion from the sinuses. Your eustachian tube, which runs from the back of the nose to the ear, can get blocked. But again, none of those things should cause numbness. So if you are genuinely getting numbness in your face along with reduced hearing, that implies more nerve involved.
Okay.
So sometimes it can be coming, you know, you could have issues at the top of the neck, or, you know, so it can be musculoskeletal there. But, you know, we'd always be looking to see, should we be doing any scans of the head to see, is there anything going on there too?
Okay. We'll get one quick question in. Hi, Anna. Can you ask Dr. Nina about this, please? My 13-year-old has a consistent elevated levels of creatine in his blood. No, it's not creatine, is it? It's
creatinine, is it?
Yes, that's it. The GP has referred him, but there is a 12-month waiting list. He is an extremely active boy. Could this be contributing? GP has referred as urgent, but there's no private option. I'm worried in case he is doing harm in the meantime. Is there anything we should be doing?
So elevated.
What is that, Nina?
So creatinine is one of your kidney numbers, okay? So okay. It's reflection. It can be reflection of kidney function. And there's a couple of things to keep in mind. Creatine is a supplement that a lot of people take, and actually it is quite safe, by the way, in people that age. But if you are taking creatine, it's going to push up the creatinine sometimes in your kidney function. So the first thing I'd say is he taking creatine supplements? A lot of these boys these days are going to the gym, they're working out. Second of all, it is a reflection of your muscle bulk. I always remember we had this consultant, his favorite question was what causes a creatinine to go up, and you had to list them. Okay, so one is muscle bulk. If you have especially a male who's quite a big guy with lots of muscle bulk, sometimes that can be normal. The creatinine's gone up. But you check for protein in the urine. That can kind of tease out whether it's actually a kidney issue or not. And then if not, he has to see a kidney person. Getting an ultrasound of the kidneys is a good place to start too.
Okay, brilliant.
Yep.
Dr. Nina, as always, we never get through them all, do we? You can find Nina, by the way, on Instagram at Dr. Nina Burns, or check out the website generationhealth.ie for lots more information. Thank you indeed.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.